I'll tell you that I've been studying Spanish, okay? You say, well, what difference does that make? You know, no, I have a lot of friends in Colombia that I like to talk to, but they don't speak English very well. And so I've been taking a course at TCC, and I have been doing pretty good in it, I might say. I still have a major test to go yet, though, and so we'll see how that winds up in the end. But I like looking at my bilingual Bible, and I look at the Spanish parts, and I read it just like you might take an English version and look at the NIV, and maybe look at King James, and maybe look at the Message. And when you look at all the, and of course, if some of you have studied Greek, then you want to go look at that too. But and I did take Greek, by the way, and I made straight A's in it. You know what year that was? At any rate, it's been a while. So the thing of it is that God has blessed me with the opportunity to learn and to grow. And so today's sermon title is a Spanish word. And it's a name that I've been hearing around here for a while. I know there's someone named Esperanza, right? That's a part of this congregation. And I've always loved that name. The word esperar is to hope or to wait. And I think that's an interesting combination that the Spanish have put together. Because sometimes it takes waiting on the Lord for our hopes to be fulfilled. And so when you think about that, you think about what God has done for us. When I think about the name Esperanza, and when anybody says that name, they're reminded, I hope, if they know a little bit of Spanish, that that means hope, and that God is hope, and God is there for us each and every day. And so I think that's a really cool name. The only problem, it's a good thing that she's a lot smarter than me, because I probably wouldn't know how to spell it until I was probably a freshman in high school. Could have been a problem. But as we look at this today, I think that we think about hope in a very benign way often. And yet hope, as it's described here in Romans, has a lot more strength than that. When we just say, well, you know, I hope that the Cowboys win, it's like, well, good luck with that kind of thing, you know. Sometimes they actually do win, though, you know, and your hope is not in vain. But, you know, sometimes they play Buffalo or somebody else, and so it doesn't always work out. But the thing of it is, when we read and we look at the Scripture, we find that we have hope. And when we read again in Romans 5, I love, again, this passage, because it pulls together a lot of ideas. Paul had just been previously talking in chapter 4 about Abraham and how he spent so much time waiting on the Lord. And yet, even when he was 100 years old and God shows up, you know, he says, you know, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you so many kids, you know, basically, so many relatives that you're not even going to be able to count them, like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the heaven. And Abraham said, you know, well, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm already 100. My wife's 90 years old. You know, God, you understand how the body works. You know, it just can't happen like that. Abraham didn't say that, even though Sarah did laugh a little bit. But nevertheless, we find that his faith in God was rewarded, and he stood fast in that faith. And so as we come to this point, then we find that Jesus Christ then has helped us to get past the sinful nature of our lives as well. And so we have hope in that. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, because if we've lived in the righteousness of God and trust in Him, then we have that hope that Abraham has as well. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great thing to begin to think about too, because if I wanted to be at peace with anybody, it would be God, wouldn't it? I started to say, I mean, I don't really like being at war with the devil, because the devil's mean, he's cheap, He does whatever he can to manipulate and do bad things to you. You know, we know the story about Job, for example, and all the things that he went through. But yet he never did go back on God, did he? And so the same is true for us. I would hate to be an adversary with the devil, but on the other hand, I would much more hate to be an adversary with God, because God is the one who has the power. He is the one who can overcome all things. And we know who wins in the end anyway. If you've read the last chapter of the book, you know that Jesus Christ is there, and he's already won the battle for us. We have that hope in him. We have seen the power of God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's another thing he was talking about over here in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll get to in a minute. About the fact that some were saying that, oh, it's just a myth. Jesus Christ didn't really rise from the dead. You know that's impossible. Of course, that's just the devil putting ideas in their heads, wasn't it? And Paul says, if that were true, then Christians here on this earth would be the most pitiable people that there are, because we live like we're going to have a future beyond this. And if we've given up and sacrificed so many different things just so we can say that we're Christians, then what have we gained? But he says, no, but Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. It goes on to say in Romans, it says, though God is there for us. It says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is through the Son of God who has sacrificed himself, he has given us a chance for a new life. And through Jesus Christ, who we believe in and we have that faith, you see how it's all anchored together, all these key words, peace and faith and hope and justification. We're justified not because we're so good, but we're justified because we've accepted Jesus Christ and his shed blood, and because Jesus Christ was the perfection of God come to earth, who was sacrificed then, and because we believe and we trust in him, through him, our bill is paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we then are justified not because of our own works, but because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Again, so many words. This is one of those things. I hope that you'll take this passage and sit down and just think about it a little bit more this afternoon, because you can take it sentence by sentence, and there's so much there. We have access, you see. Now, I'm not going to begin to try to tell you what this word is in Greek, because I would probably say it wrong, and then there's at least three or four people in here that knew would know that. But the thing of it is that the definition of this word, access, in the Greek, means is used for when royalty is being introduced. When you come before a king, the royalty, then this is the word to have that kind of an access, to come before God. And we are invited, as we are very special people then, to come in. It also means to have a haven or a harbor, a safe harbor. And so when we find that we are in stormy waters, like they often were, and they worried about whether they were going to make it. You know all the stories, I'm sure, about Paul and how he became shipwrecked and the different things that happened with him when he was on the sea. But having a safe harbor to come into, the grace of God is that safe harbor that we are given. And so it is then that by that, then we can stand. Once again, another word. Standing is not just like, well, I'm standing up here, you know, kind of. No. It's more like if you, and I know the Dallas Cowboys linemen, sometimes they fall over. But I suspect on any given day, if you had one of them in the kind of stance that they know and they've been trained how to do. And you came over and you tried to, they would budge probably even more than that right there, because they've been taught and they've been built strength-wise, and they know what to do. And so it is that we're standing in a firm situation, like a rock, so to speak. And that grace has given us the opportunity to know that that hope is sufficient and solid. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because once again, we can praise God for the gift that He's given us, and that hope and that knowledge that God's glory, the power that He's already showed us as He's raised Jesus Christ from the dead, but He's also showed us the way, and He's called us, and He's given us the knowledge of knowing that we too can follow, and that we have a home in heaven, that we will be with Him forever and forever. It's that kind of knowledge that gives us the strength, and so we have that hope in Him. And so, the kind of hope that we talked about at the beginning, the kind of like, you know, I hope the Cowboys win kind of thing, is not the kind of hope that we're talking about here. Let's listen to these next couple of verses again. And it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And you can say, well, wait a minute. I'm really not that excited about when tribulations come along. I don't really like being sick. I don't really like being poor. I don't really like, you know, having hard times. I don't like for my family to have hard times. You know, I don't like a lot of things that are going on in this world. So why can we say this? Well, this word again, more equivalent to pressure, like stress. We can glory in stress, the pressure, the tribulations, whatever word that you want to put on it, because we know that as we enter into that, we're not walking alone by ourselves, okay, first of all. And therefore, when we get into that, we find that that tribulation produces perseverance. Now, the strength of that perseverance means that it builds strength in us. It gives us the knowledge of how to stand. Just like the football player that we were talking about a minute ago. He probably just didn't wake up one morning and say, well, you know, look, I'm all that it took some time to exercise, didn't it? It took some time to work out. It took some coaching. It took a lot of things in several years for him to get to where he was in preschool until he became the professional football player and lineman that he was. And so we see that it takes work, it takes pine, it takes waiting, it takes that espera that we need. And so the perseverance, the fortitude that God has called us into then, He stands with us, and He continues to make us stronger. And perseverance, character. Now, character, it begins to be stronger and stronger. Once again, the Greek word that is used, that's translated here, is more like a refining word. Like when you put steel through a hot fire and you melt away all the impurities, it's burned out. And finally, you come out with a pure substance. That's the kind of character it's talking about. And so, when you've been put under the pressure and you stood the pounding of the hammer to make you into the sharp sword that God intends for you to be, then your character has been strengthened because it's been through the fire. It's been made stronger. And therefore, when you are there, you can accomplish more because you've been given the opportunity to go through these things. In character, when you have that kind of a character, then you have real hope. The kind of hope that's not like, well, I hope the Cowboys win. But, you know, the kind of hope that says, I know where my parents are today. I don't hope they're in heaven to the degree that I hope the Cowboys win, but I know that my parents have gone on to be with Jesus Christ in the place that God has promised us. I know that Rick is there too already. I know that God has blessed us with some phenomenal people in this world, and I'm sure that each one of you could go through your families and think about what God has blessed you with. The hope, the kind of hope that we have, is not a question mark at all. The kind of hope that God has given us is one that gives us the ability to stand strong and to move forward as the power of God dwells in us. It's the kind of hope that we have that makes us able to stand and know that God is with us, and that God is not a myth, and that God is not dead, and that God is there for all eternity. He's there to show us the way. If we look at this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, just for a minute, we see that once again, it talks about hope in a different way, doesn't it? It says, if in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be pitied the most, you know. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that sleep. It says, for as in Adam all die, because we know that it was through the sins of Adam and Eve that became inherent upon us as well. Yet in Christ and through his righteousness, we shall all be made alive. I love these passages because it reminds me again of the power of God. And even though we deserve death in a way because we brought that on ourselves, yet Jesus Christ and God were not satisfied with that solution. He wants us to come and to be with him. And he's putting us through the fire so we become stronger. And when we are there, then we can stand strong and have the kind of hope that we want to be reminded of. It says, but each of us in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he was the first one to be resurrected. And then after those who are Christ at his coming, Yes, Christ is coming again, isn't he? Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all powers. So it doesn't really matter what kind of an army exists on this planet, how many missiles they have, how many special secret weapons, and how many satellites, and who knows what all is being devised. Doesn't really matter, because when that day comes, Jesus Christ is going to supersede everything. And he's going to take over, and he will take that authority and to have the power. And then, as you probably read in Matthew 25, then you see the big scene of where they separate the sheep and the goats. And sadly enough, there will be a lot of goats, I'm afraid. I hope there are a lot more sheep, though, as well. And I think that's what the church is about, isn't it? That's why we are sitting here today, I hope, not just so we can hear another sermon, not just so we can say, well, you know, I went to church and I get my good check mark for being in church today. But the fact that through this, we gain the strength to go forward and to share that hope with others that are out there. Those that need to know more about Jesus Christ. Those who have the kind of hope that are, well, I hope the Cowboys win, into the kind of hope that shows the power of God through the cross of Jesus Christ and the grace that is poured out and the Holy Spirit, who's pouring out the love of God for all of us. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Can you imagine that God has created the Holy Spirit so that He can come to you and pour out love into your heart? It says that right here in the Scriptures. And so it is that God loves you that much, and He's not willing to throw you away. And that's why He wants you to grow in the hope that God has intended for your life. As I said, then comes the end, and when He delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, He will put an end to all rule and authority and power. He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. He will vanquish every evil thing and destroy it. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Death is something that all of us must deal with to some degree. But it's not a punishment. It is the final bookmark, so to speak, in the next, you know, getting us ready for the next chapter, the next volume, whatever you want, the sequel that God has for our life. This is just a small prelude, so to speak, of our life, anchored in Jesus Christ. And so, God will destroy death. He didn't want to leave that note out, did He? Paul wanted us to be aware that that last thing that will be destroyed, and it will be destroyed, is death. And then there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more of all those things that have been difficult here on this earth. And we will be with God in heaven for the rest of eternity. How's that for hope? Let us pray. Our dear most righteous Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ in our lives and for the hope that You give us, the grace that's poured out and the love. I pray, Father, that we take that love that You've poured out in our hearts and we share that with one another, that we take time to be refined and to be the strong folks that You have called us to be. I pray, Father, that we wait patiently for Your coming, but not just to sit around and waste time, but that we will use that time wisely to share Your word, to spend time in prayer, to rejoice and be thankful that You have blessed us with so many amazing friends and family in our lives. I thank You, Father, for Esperanza and for the beautiful young lady that she is. I thank You for her awesome name and the meaning that's behind that. I thank You for her family and for her church and for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior as we wait in hope for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.